seated. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Norman Mailer wrote in the novella, A River Runs Through It, that in Montana, and I guess it's true for Virginia too, we say grace before our meals, we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and the Hallelujah Chorus, and we're never late for church nor fishing. So I appreciate you standing for the Hallelujah Chorus. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we are grateful that you are here with us. A couple announcements, if you need to know, this is Easter. We had a wonderful Easter sunrise service, and those that attended that service wanted to give their wishes to you. We also have a lot of people that are traveling, but we are grateful that you're here. We will be flowering the cross before the sermon during the offertory. So after we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord, come forth. And if you brought cut flowers, you can bring them down. If you didn't, you are all in. All of you who didn't bring cut flowers are indebted to Webb Griffin. So he went and bought a bunch of flowers. So there are flowers here. If you didn't bring cut flowers, grab some, and we will flower the cross. And we'll see the beautiful work of God in Christ Jesus. No announcements really that aren't in the bulletin. Does anyone have an announcement they'd like to make? Any prayer requests that you would like to highlight? Yes, ma'am.
Trish Gray.
Trish Gray.
Recovered from surgery.
Okay. We do want to pray for many of our folks that are traveling. So traveling mercies. Anyone else? Yes.
If we just continue to let my Uncle Duval in prayer.
Okay. Let's keep Duval in our prayers. McDaniel. All right. Webb.
Robert and Cheyenne.
Keep both of them in prayer. Cheyenne's got a very, probably affected tonsils. No, not tonsils. What is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, he told us that this morning.
He said they were black and bleed.
Yeah, so keep Cheyenne in our prayers. And then, yes, ma'am, Carol?
Star Camden.
Star Camden. Martha?
Wayne called me this morning, and he's not here at church because he cannot leave Nikki alone. His daughter that stays in the sheriff's apartment got up this morning and has some kind of virus, so she's not able to be around Nikki or Wayne.
Well, let's keep Nikki. What's the other daughter's name?
Cordelia.
Okay. Let's keep all the Williams in our prayers. Any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
My friend Vivian Dawson, who's in Lynchburg General, has double pneumonia, and they're trying to get her well enough to do a biopsy of her lungs to see what really is going on.
Let's keep Vivian, friend of Lisa's, in our prayers. Any others? Yes, sir.
Okay, one more. If we pray for Wednesday night men's group, but let's keep Sarah, our friend Stephanie's mom, who just had open heart surgery, in our prayer. She was hoping to be coming home today, and she's not. The new valve that they put on her heart, she's not doing very well. So keep Stephanie and Sarah in our prayers.
Great. We will do that for Sarah. Tell Stephanie we're praying.
Yes, sir.
Any others? Did you have?
I do. I have a friend, Sonia Walker, and her daughter has been fighting cancer for the last year or so, and she has been put in hospital. She might have COVID.
What's her daughter's name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany, who's fighting cancer and may also have COVID. Any others for prayer? Yeah, quite a few this morning. Any others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the joy of today. We thank you that we are visibly, auditorily, in all of our senses, we are reminded that this is the new day in Christ Jesus. And as the old hymn would sing, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, life is worth the living. Because He lives, we are forgiven of our sins, cleansed from all our righteousness, clothed in His perfect righteousness. Because He lives, we rejoice. Because He lives, we will, through all eternity, relish in the goodness of a compassionate God who came to seek and to save even me. We thank You that Your love knows no bounds, that not even death, that great enemy, is able to apprehend that which You have set Your grace and seal and love upon. We thank You for the finished work that manifested itself in the resurrected Lord. And we thank You that we can gather as Your body, a body of vibrancy and life. We are not here as a club with certain rituals and beliefs alone that we remember a fallen comrade. We are here in the vibrancy of a living Lord who has promised where two or three are gathered in His name that He is there in the midst. We gather not only in the midst of our living Lord, but because He lived, the first fruits of all those others, we gather with all those that have gone on before us. We are surrounded by a heavenly host of those praising Your name, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We thank You, our Father, for the gift of Your Son. Thank You for the gift of this day that we can celebrate. And we pray that You would find our worship acceptable in Your sight and edified in our presence. We pray that You'd be with those requests that have been mentioned today. We pray that You would be with Tricia, with Duval, with Cheyenne, with Stark, with Wayne, with Nikki, with Cordelia, with Vivian, with Tiffany, with Sarah, with all those that are traveling, with the one that comes to our mind at this time. We thank You that we walk in the abundance that You purchased, that we seek not to achieve reconciliation with God or with others, but we know that Christ Jesus, in His own body, on the cross, tore the curtain, broke down all the walls and barriers that separate us, and we live and move and have our being in the reconciling love and unity of Jesus Christ. May that be our focus today. May we praise You and You alone. And we ask this in Your name. Amen. Amen. You'll join with me on the front of the bulletin. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know Your ways, O Lord, and teach us Your path. Lead us in Your truth and teach us, for You are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to Your steadfast love.
According to Your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create us a clean heart, O
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use the 16th psalm by whole verse, calling each to worship. Then we'll stand and vibrantly sing out hymn 270, Christ the Lord is risen today. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other.
All my delight is upon the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
They are like angels of blood I will not offer, nor take the names of their gods on my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My God brings me close to pleasant land. Indeed, I have a goodly heritage.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand and shall not fail.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see you dead.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The Old Testament lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought as a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed in misfortune, for they will be people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
With you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. transferred us through his finished work from being children of the dark to being children of the light. And now, as a secure children of the light, sealed by his Spirit, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The New Testament lesson is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 19 through 26. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
We give all praise, glory, and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
God's wording is Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, or excuse me, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, they were perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping in and looking, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Beautiful cross made perfect by the one upon whom, as we read in the earlier service, the great Saint Father, Saint Theodore, he said that Christ mounted the cross the way a warrior mounts a steed to go to victorious battle. And in doing so, he has won for us life everlasting. He died for all. I almost stopped Mona, but I didn't, because I didn't want to embarrass her or you. But Christ died for all. I know that some of you are exactly like me. I'm not big into crafty type things, and I can preach all day long, but I don't really like being singled out. But if you didn't put a flower on the cross, after the service, there's some flowers still in the bucket. Come down and put a flower on the cross, for he died for all. And I want everyone to contribute in the, just seeing the beauty of our Savior. Let us go to the Lord and ask his blessings. Our gracious Lord, with the psalmist, truly this is the day that the Lord has made. The day of crucifixion has given way to the day of resurrection, that eternal day, the day without end, the sunrise with no set, the unending day of your victory and grace. And even in the midst of our darkness, the valley of the shadow that we all walk, we still know that you are the risen Son of light. Even on our days of ugly, when the stain of sin seems to seep through, we yet confess again that you are the risen Christ of beauty. On those days where we are weighed by the weight of our sin, we yet again confess that you are the risen Christ of forgiveness. When we are feeling the decay of death, we again confess that you are the risen Christ of life and that eternal. This is a good day, the day of the Lord. praise be unto you. Now may our hearts and our minds be prepared. May my words be effective and few. And may we see Jesus, the resurrected one, and him alone. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Yeah.
It was a day, and it might still be the day, when Easter came. I remember my mother taking all of us little children out to get our new Easter outfits. And ladies wore new hats, and men bought for their ladies corsages. And I remember most the uncomfortable stiff shoes that we had at dawn upon our feet. And I'm curious, did any of you do or think about a special, what you were going to wear today? How many of you put thought into what you were going to wear today? I bought my wife a new dress for today, just to make a good sermon illustration. Now, she picked it out, put it on layaway, so I just went and bought it. But she's the one that gets credit. But Easter outfit. Now, I am no one. Any of you who know me, you know that one of the least things that I ever give any attention to is what I wear. I jokingly told people that the reason that best two things about being a clergy, and I say this facetiously, but I used to say that the best two things about being a clergy is, one, I don't have to worry about what I wear, and two, if I have to go to weddings, I get paid for it. But I am not one that generally thinks about clothing. But I want to talk about clothing today. I want to talk about Easter outfits today. And three in particular, three robes I want to think about. As I prayed over and just read through the scriptures, three robes came to mind. You probably know the first robe I'm thinking about. It was, unlike this cross as it is in its beauty now, it was the most ugly of robes. It was tragically unbecoming. And that was the robe of Jesus. You know, we know the story of Jesus' robe. It was gambled for by the robbers as they stripped him naked for the humiliation and shame of the crucifixion. We know it was a seamless robe, which had some value, but far more importantly than the material worth of it was the fact that it was a priest's robe, a seamless robe, and it identifying that Jesus was in the fulfillment of all prophecy and our great high priest eternally. But what struck me this year as I contemplated about Jesus' robe is how horrifically ugly his robe would have been. You look behind me as I did, quite fixated on Good Friday in our Tenebrae service. I was mesmerized by the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane in the stained glass above my head. But brothers and sisters, let me attest to you that in all the beauty of this picture that you've seen in many formats of Christ in the garden, what is behind me is not a biblically accurate picture of what was endured. Rather, what is the picture, as the Bible describes it, is one who was so overwhelmed, not with the physical pain that he would be enduring. Many have approached physical martyrdom and persecution with more nobility. It wasn't the physical pain that was overwhelming to our Savior. It was the fact that he was going to have the sins of each one of us. And most of us would say that we get tired of looking back at our own sins and mistakes and failings and shortcomings. Like Paul, most of us thinking of our own past say, take it away, take it away, take it away. To think that he had not just one person's failings, but the sins of the entirety of the created order. The shame and humiliation of being God divine, stripped of all of that. The one who was holy being made a curse. The one who was life, knowing that he would die. The one who was one perfectly, eternally with the Father, being betrayed. He was not kneeling as you see it behind me with his hands as a perfect little cute 4 or 5 year old praying. He was probably writhing on the ground. Some of us have been there. We know what it is to wail. And he was doing it for the entirety of the world. We read in Scripture that he was brought to such agony that blood vessels began to just explode, and like sweat, the blood poured out. His robe, as he came back and found the disciples sleeping, as he went on from there for that mock kangaroo court, bounced between authority to authority, all the while he is standing with matted hair and a terribly grotesque looking robe, with his sweat and his blood and his tears out of love for us. That's what our Lord donned for his Easter outfit. There's a second robe, far more valuable materialistically, far more beautiful. And it struck me again this year, maybe for the first time. The robe of Joseph of Arimathea. You remember Joseph of Arimathea? We read in Matthew that he was a rich disciple of Jesus Christ, a devout man, one that had been blessed in so many ways materialistically. Mark says he's a respected member of the council. Here is one who was a mover and a shaker. But he loved Jesus. It was just that simple for him. He loved Jesus. He had great wealth. He had great power. But nothing meant more to him than asking for the crucified body of his Savior. If you are like me, at times of distress, times of sadness, times of loneliness, I find myself wanting to just go to the chapel where my father's earthly remains are interred. I go and sit by a bench under Granite Cross at Fort Hill Cemetery, where my grandfather's earthly remains are. And there's just something where we want to long for and love far more than pay respect those that we have loved. I'm moved by Joseph's love for Jesus Christ. I really like good theology. I really like well-articulated books and sermons and lectures. I really like worship when it's done well and richly. I really like when people go and they offer the cup of cold water in Jesus' name and they serve their neighbor. They go around and they do missions projects. I really like all that activity. But at the end of the day, it's the love of a Joseph who just loved Jesus. And I can picture as he was granted permission to take and to care for in a lovingly precious way his Savior's body, that his robe became disfigured as he took that lifeless body of Jesus that had been mauled in the crucifixion. stained his robe was. But let me offer one more Easter garment, another robe. It is not stained. It is not grotesque. It is not in any way ugly. It's glistening whiter than any dry cleaner can make it. Its white is to the point of shining translucently. It's white. It's called by Isaiah the garment of salvation. Zechariah says that it is received when we are clothed in the name of Jesus Christ at our baptism, when we are made one with Him, when we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we hear His word, when we receive Him at table, we are covered with a robe that's absolutely glistening white. It would make whatever Easter bonnet you're wearing, whatever bright clothing you have, even the display of these flowers, we would all find them paling in significance to the absolute purity of this blessed robe. And it's yours. It's yours. For no other reason than Jesus Christ loved you and gave Himself for you. If you'll turn with me to a gospel as I close with a marriage. I talked at Good Friday that on the cross, through His side, like the first Adam, the second Adam got a bride at this crucifixion. A bride that was taken from His side, a bride that He loved and laid down His life for, a bride that He will keep spotless in the day of His appearing. And we see in this parable that Jesus told of a wedding feast about a king that is having a feast, a marriage feast. He sends out invitations for all the proper people, all the good religious people, all the powerful people, all the people that you want on your invitation list, and none of them came. They all had excuses, they all had reasons, they had other things they thought were more important. So He said, go into the highways and the byways. Go find the people on the edge. That's a different sermon, but have you all noticed that Jesus loved the people on the side of the road? The mainstream, He sort of ignored a little bit, but the ones on the side of the road. From the Good Samaritan on, we see this. And they go to the side of the road and they bring the people in. And it's populated. But reading in verse 11, we read, but when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, a term of endearment, friend, how did you get in here with a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. If we don't understand the cultural background to this text, we might think that this is a caprice king. This is an odd fellow indeed. His first guest blow off his invitation. So he says, which seemed like an act of magnanimous graciousness, bring in everyone. And then he comes and he finds one of the ones he just invited. And he not only asks him to leave, but he sends him to this horrific place of gnashing of teeth. But the truth of the matter is, the cultural background is, and this is such a beautiful picture, so fitting for Easter, is that when a king had a feast and invited people, he provided the garments. You didn't have to bring your own garment. He provided. I remember one time years ago, I was attending a workshop and a conference, so I just went in casual clothes. I think I had khakis and a golf shirt on. But the professor, or the lecturer, had been a professor of mine and asked me to invite him or to accompany him to a dinner that they were going to at some high-dollar revolving restaurant. Well, I was humbled and in awe to go, so I agreed and I went. But my joy was short-lived. I already felt insecure. Maybe, unlike any of you, already felt like I didn't belong. These people were far longer in the field than I. They had degrees better than mine. They had been experienced far surpassing my own. They were just people I looked up to. I just didn't fit with them. You have you ever been there? It was like they invited me, but I almost felt like they were doing it just to be nice or show pity. And I was a little nervous anyway. And we got to the restaurant. I saw this little sign saying, coat and tie required for entrance. And I was confirmed I didn't belong. It was made quite clear to me that my first suspicions were right. I wasn't good enough. And I just feared that I was going to be asked to leave. And I'd have to sit out in the car until everyone else that was worthy of the meal enjoyed it, and they would come out and sort of give me words of comfort that would be fairly comfortless. I wasn't surprised because I didn't think I belonged anyway. And I was sitting there nervous, and I looked over at Gary, and he just sort of didn't give me really what I wanted. What he knew that I didn't, that as soon as I got to the maitre d', they extended me a coat. They gave me a tie. And I've never enjoyed wearing a coat and tie more in my life. It was a pure gift. It took away all my insecurity. It brought me immediately to a place where I knew I was not only belonged, I was desired. And I was so grateful because you know what? I knew it was a pure gift and I didn't deserve it at all. You see why I want everyone to put a rose or something on this cross? Because it's for you. This final garment, the robe of righteousness, is for each one of us. Sure, you're insecure. Sure, you wonder if you belong. Sure, you don't think you're worthy. Guess what? The one up front and center is right with you. But guess what? We get the robe that all looks the same. I wish we practiced baptism the way we used to. If you look in the Didache or early church lessons, and I've shared this with some, but in the early church, the way you would be baptized is you would walk to one side of the river, and on that side of the river, you would drop, disrobe, take off all the clothing that you had. You would take off all those things that set me above or beneath someone else. All those symbols and status, and whether you had Levi's, or as I always feared, old plain pockets from Jack Pinney. Whatever you were wearing, the best suit or the cheapest suit, the most stylish or the most out of style, you left that. You went into the waters of baptism. As you entered the waters physically in your first birth, and you came out of the water of the baptism after the Word of God and the Spirit descended, and you came out, and guess what was put on you? A white robe. And guess what? All those white robes look the same. As James would tell us, this gift that comes from God to all of us is without partiality. We all are dressed in those beautiful white robes of Jesus Christ, equally covered by His grace and righteousness, made perfectly white because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Receive your garment with joy and gratitude, for the Lord loves you and blesses us all. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the grave. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Thanks and praise fill our hearts, Almighty God, for you are the Lord of creation, a new creation, of covenant and new covenant. You brought your people out of slavery to freedom in the promised land. And you brought your Son from the depth of death to the glory of resurrection life. And so we gladly thank you with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Joy and gladness are our song, Redeeming God, for in your conquest of death, we see the destiny of every hope in you. Come among us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that your children may be blessed with power and grace, and that this bread and this cup may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, blessed the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and he gave you thanks. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Hope and glory are our breath, merciful God, for you have rolled away the stone of despair, the stone of oppression, the stone of lament, the stone of grief, the stone of death, the stone of sin, the stone of fear. Come and stand among us and breathe on us your peace. Breathe on us your power. Breathe on us your eternal life, that all who labor, all who stumble, all who hunger, and all who fall shall meet you in the breaking of the bread and be lifted up by your touch. Shape your church to be your risen body. Make our scars beautiful like your scars. Make our lives life-giving like your life, and make our communion holy with your saints, until you come again in glory and we eat with you in your kingdom. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. Amen. the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. And all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth are invited to come and to receive the very body and the very blood of Jesus Christ. He is our Paschal Lamb. He has been slain for us. He has risen for our sins, and He invites us to come and to receive Himself. This table is spread. Let us keep the feast together. thank you for feeding us so bountifully. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that we are graced by your love to now love you through the power of the Holy Spirit. We adore you. May you enliven our hearts to love you yet more for the goodness and grace and peace and forgiveness and abundance of life that you have given to us. Through your holy name, amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and sing together our closing hymn. Keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the throne to God our Savior, who alone be all power and majesty, glory and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Hallelujah.